الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Where there are many blessings and virtues and benefits of reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the biggest and the most beneficial benefit is that it revives, it brings to life, it gives life to a broken and dead heart. That a person whose heart is missing the nur of light, a person whose heart is missing the sweetness of Iman, a person whose heart is missing the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the means of reciting durood, by the means of reciting salat, his heart revives again. There is different categories to things. Allah Ta'ala has made different statuses and levels to things, the greatest being the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, then the humans, then the jinnat, then the animals, then the other living things, and then the non-living things. And the lowest of the lowest is that thing which Allah Ta'ala has not given life to. It is a senseless, a motionless, a feelingless, a speechless thing which Allah has created. But even that, when it comes into connection with the Rasulullah, when it starts to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it becomes mu'attar. It becomes beautiful, it becomes mu'azzaz, it becomes respected and honored. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam used to walk in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and there was a stone, there was a hajar, that every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would walk past it, it would say, As-salatu ala al-Nabi, As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. We as being the ummatis, we as being the followers, we as being the ones who love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we the ones who Allah has given speech and we praise Him with our speech, we are the ones who Allah has given hearing to and we hear His speech, we are the ones Allah has given basar, eyesight to, that we look at the manuscripts, at the Quran, which tells us the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are the ones who have a heart, a qalb, which has feelings and emotions, and we intensify those feelings and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if a stone can be privileged, if a stone can be honored, if a stone can be remembered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for praising and honoring him, then why can't we as ummatis be done so? This is the love, this is the effect of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is the topic of today's program as well. Love. And love and how it affects a person, how it changes the state of a mind of a person, how it changes the state of a heart of a person, how if there is intellect telling us to do something and there is hub, love telling us to do another thing, what should we choose? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of a husband and wife, the love of a children, the love of the parents, the love of mal, the love of dunya, all these are considered to be types of love. But what is the definition of love? Love in the English language, in the Saxon definition, love, it has been translated or it has been defined as to be pleased. This is why iman, faith, is linked with love. Why the word faith or belief means to accept something. Now when a person, he accepts something, the only reason is because he's pleased with it. We are pleased with Allah Ta'ala, we are pleased with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are pleased with the Qur'an, we are pleased with the promises and the ahkamat of the Qur'an, hence we accept it. This is why faith has a direct connection with love. And the Arabic language, which is a very beautiful and vast language, Arabic language is like an ocean, but rather it is greater than an ocean. One single word could have hundreds of meaning, and one single position or one single stance could have hundreds of words describing it. And there is words which describe certain positions. So it is a very extensive language, and this is why The Quran is a mu'jaza, the Quran is a miracle in itself, because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The Arabs were very prideful. The Arabs were very boastful of their grasp upon the Arabic language, their grasp upon the eloquence of the Arabic language. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to them with the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who did not have a teacher, he was not taught by anybody in this world, he did not have a human teacher, yet when he would recite the Quran, when he would speak the Quran to them, when the recitation and the melody and the beautification of the Quran would hit the ears of the Arabs, they were dumbfounded. They were not able to speak, because they knew that after so many years and being so eloquent and being expert in the Arabic language, the Quran comes and challenges them that if you are able to produce a single surah like it, produce it, and they are unable to do so. So they had to accept that fact that the words which are coming out of the mouth of Rasulullah, the word which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking and reciting, they are not the words of a human, but rather they are the words of Allah Ta'ala. And this is how a lot of the Arabs, they accepted Islam. Anyway, going back to the topic of hub, the word hub in the Arabic language has many meanings. And one meaning of that word hub is seed. Those brothers who assisted, who studied the ilm, they know in the chapters of Ushar and Zakat, etc., that the word hubba is used. And this is the seed of wheat. So the word seed is used for hub. Why? Because when a seed is planted, when a seed is embedded in something, and it is nourished by water, it is nourished by wind, it is nourished by sunlight, or in the heart of a Muslim, when the seed of love is nourished by praising the beloved, when the seed of love is nourished by caring for the beloved, when the seed of love is nourished by thinking about that beloved, by speaking good of that beloved, by turning away from the faults of that beloved, then it flourishes, it turns, it begins to turn into something beautiful and something which is enjoyable and something which a person benefits from. So this is why love has been translated as a seed as well, because when the seed of the love of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are embedded in the heart of a mu'min, are embedded in the heart of a believer, then his heart, which is dead, lifeless, soulless, dull, stinky, changes into a fragrant, beautiful, colorful garden. And this is why love is very important in a person's life, and love makes a person do adab. Now the question we need to ask ourselves is that there are things in our life which we love as well. For example, a husband might love his wife, a father might love his child, a friend might love his friend, a person might love his cars, his wealth, his houses. But what is the reason one has love for something? And the scholars have written that there are three main reasons why somebody loves somebody. Number one, due to its external beauty, due to it pleasing the eyes, because of you looking at it, you feel sukoon, you feel tranquility, you feel peace in your heart. This is the reason number one. Reason number two is internal beauty, the character of an individual, the personality of that individual, the warm feeling you get when you are that somebody, that easiness of heart, that burden of yours which lessens when you are with that somebody. This is the second reason the scholars have mentioned. And the third reason is that favor that individual has done upon you. And when you remember that favor, when you remember that in'am and that ikram that individual has done upon you, then you love that individual. Now, if you were to apply all of these three categories upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what do we see? That the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was perfection in itself. There was nothing more beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If beauty was to be split into 100 pieces, 99 of those are being granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that even the kuffar, even the non-Muslims, when they would gaze upon the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they say, it is impossible for that face to be the face of a liar. When people would look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would forget all their worries. When people would look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would forget all of their sorrows. When people would look at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would even forget their pain. There were companions in battles that their eyes had fallen out, and they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet would apply his saliva, and the Prophet ﷺ would cure him. The companions radiallahu anhum, when they were in a state, when they were distressed, they were in a state of uncomfortableness because they did not see Rasulullah. And when they would see the face of Rasulullah ﷺ, it would bring sukoon into their hearts. The second thing, a person's internal beauty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I have the best character amongst you. The people, they would say that one khasusiyah, one speciality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that whenever he would speak to somebody, that individual would think that I am the most loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. This was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his blessed wives radiyallahu anhunnas, they would participate, or they would compete with each other to gain the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions, they would try their utmost best to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love and the affection and the care that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the companions, this was the reason that so many of them were attracted to him. Even before the declaration of prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character was such that he was known as As-Sadiqul Amin. He was known as the most truthful and the most the one who protects. This was the titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third thing which a person loves and which is found in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the ihsanat, is the favors of an individual. Now if we look at the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he came into this favoring the anbiya alayhim assalam, he was favoring the other prophets and the other nations. It is said about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, for hundreds of years he was doing dua in the court of Allah, and it was not being accepted. And then when he used the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah ta'ala accepted his dua. And it was said to Adam, "Oh Adam, how did you know about the name of Muhammad? Where did you see the name of Muhammad?" And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said that when I was in paradise, I would look up and I would see La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I would see the name Muhammad next to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there I knew that the name Muhammad has a special closeness, has a special attribute linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the ihsan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam before he came into this world. And when he came into this world, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was born, he fell into prostration and he was saying, Rabbi habli ummati, Rabbi habli ummati. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was remembering, as he was remembering his ummah. And even if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if there was a weak animal, if there was an animal which was not strong, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed body touched it, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat on it, that became qawi, that became strong, and it became faster than the others. This was the ihsan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we look in the battles, the companions radiyallahu anhum, they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with wounds, with injuries, and the Prophet would apply his blessed saliva, the Prophet would pray for them, the Prophet would do dua for them, and that would cure all of them. This was the ihsan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like this, there are many other examples, there are many other stories, there are many other parables linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his ahsanat, his favors upon the individuals made them love him even more. Now let's look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his apparent demise. Even now we are gaining favors due to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the previous nations, it was done that if a person would commit a sin, the punishment would afflict them straight away. Their faces would disfigure, their faces would turn into dogs and pigs and monkeys, etc. But it is because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is because of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that punishments do not afflict us straight away. What is this? This is the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So an individual who has reached perfection in external beauty, a person who has reached perfection in internal beauty, a person who has reached perfection in favoring others, he is the most deserving of our love. So it is upon an individual, it is upon a Muslim, that he should love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wholeheartedly and with all of his heart. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the love a person has for his prophet, for the anbiya alayhim as-salam, for the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there is another type of love, and that is the love between the husband and the wife. There is a story of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman Farooq radiyallahu anhu, that he got married. And when he got married, a few days later the call of battle came. The phase of marriage where he was enjoying himself, where he was loving his wife, where he was enjoying the bounties Allah Ta'ala had granted him, and the call of battle came. So he stepped out of his house and he looked back, and his wife said to him, "Why are you looking back? Fear Allah. go and I will meet you in paradise, and oh, come back and I will be waiting for you. And Sayyidina Abdul Rahman Farooq, rahmatullah alayhi, he left his house and he went to the borders of Khurasan. He went to the borders to protect them. And a year passed, and a year and a half passed, and 2 years passed, and 2.5 years passed, 3 years passed, 4 years passed. And like this, 30 years. Or another narration, 27 years had passed and he had not returned home. Then one day he was sitting and he was looking at the stars and he was gazing upon the stars and he was feeling a bit romantic and there was thoughts coming into his heart. And he thought, I had a wife and she was beautiful and I loved her and I spent times with her and they were the happiest times of my life. I should go back to him. So after 30 years of service, when the thoughts of his wife were intensifying, when the thoughts of his wife and the thought of his family were getting so much that he was not able to focus on other things, he went to the commander of chief. He asked to be excused. He rode his horse like thunder. He rode his horse like lightning. And he came back to Madinatul Munawwara. And when he came back, he was a righteous man. He was a pious man. He was a man who knew the religion. He was a man who knew the love of Allah Ta'ala. So he went into the masjid and he performed salah. And now after performing salah, he sees the ulama of Medina, he sees the scholars of Medina being present. And he is saying, Subhanallah. And this was the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And he looks at the knowledge, he looks at the flourishment, he looks at the beauty of the people. And he thinks, Subhanallah, how far we have become. And whilst he was gazing upon the face of the ulama, one alim, one scholar, one young man, one beautiful face, one radiant face, one light of iman emanating from a body of a mu'min, he sees him and he says, Subhanallah, he's so beautiful, he's so knowledgeable. Allah Ta'ala has granted him so much, Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him so much. I envy his parents. So he goes looking for his house, and when he knocks on his house, that very same young man appears. And he gets angry. He's saying, what are you doing in my house? And he says, oh, old man, who are you? And he says, I am Abdul Rahman Farooq. And this is the house of my wife. And his wife is listening to him behind closed doors. And when she sees these words, she cannot believe it. She cannot believe that it is Abdul Rahman who left 30 years ago, who left 27 years ago, and he has came back. So when the people of Medina gathered and they reunited the beloveds to each other, and they started crying, and they started sharing memories, and they started crying, and they started talking to each other. And he says to her, what happened after I left? And she says, you left 30,000 dinar with me, which equivalent to today's currency is about 2 million pounds or even more. So she says that you left 30,000 dinar. And he says, okay, where are those? Where is that money? Where did you spend them? And she says that after you left, I was pregnant. I was bearing a child. Allah Ta'ala granted me a beautiful boy and I raised him. And that money which you left in with me, I spent that in nurturing him and in making him a knowledgeable scholar, in making him a knowledgeable alim. And wallah, she swears by Allah that all that money was spent on him and for his knowledge and for his education. And Abdul Rahman Farooq says, Subhanallah, who is this young man? And she says, did you go to the masjid? He said, yes. She said, did you pray there? She said, yes. She said, did you look at the scholars of Medina? He said, yes. She said, did any one of them stand out to you? He said, yes. She said, which one of those was that? And he said, there was a young man, a beautiful young man. And he was more outstanding than the others. He was more eloquent than the others. He stood out more than the others. And she says, wallahi, that is your son. And when he heard this, he fell into prostration. He fell into the shukr of Allah, and he said that I am grateful for you that you spent my wealth in the path of Allah and you spent my wealth in nurturing a child. Subhanallah, this was the story of Abdul Rahman Farooq and his beloved wife. And even after 30 years, the reason their love was strong, the reason their love was strong and the bond was so strong, it was because it was based upon the love of Islam. It was based upon the love of Iman. It was based upon the love of righteousness. It was based upon the love of piety. And when people love each other, when a husband and a wife, they get together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they fall into love for the sake of Allah ta'ala, when they base the foundations of the religion upon Islam and upon the deen, then Allah ta'ala flourishes them, Allah ta'ala nurtures them. So if we are looking to get married, or we are married but we have problems within our marriage, The state of our minds are not in the right place in our marriage. We need to ask ourselves, what is the reason for this? Remember when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was in paradise. He had all the bounties in paradise, yet Allah Ta'ala granted him Hawa radiallahu anha. This was because Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was longing a companionship. So the reason Sayyidatuna Hawa radiallahu anha, because at this moment there was not the decree of progeny or lineage being applied. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did not know at that time that through me the mankind, the humans would come into existence. So him being in paradise with Sayyidatuna Hawa radiallahu anha was just the mere reason of companionship. So he may gain pleasure from him and she may gain pleasure from him as well. And this is the reason, and this is the state of mind that we need to have, that if we are in a marriage, if you are looking to get married, then the reason of our marriage should be upon the basis of Islam, should be upon the basis of Iman. And when we have the knowledge of Islam and Deen, and then we go into marriage, then this will be beautiful. Why? Because the husband will know the rights of his wife, the wife will know the rights of his husband. And like this, they will respect and honor each other. In the Quran, it is said that the husband is a libas for the wife and the wife is a libas for the husband. They are clothing for each other. We wear our physical clothes to hide the faults of our body. We wear our physical clothes to protect ourselves, to protect our scars, to protect the badness inside us. And this is the same thing with the husband and the wife, that they are the libas, they are the clothing for each other. So when the husband is lacking in something, the wife covers him and makes him better. And when the wife is lacking in something, the husband covers her and makes her better. When we have this mindset in our marriage, when we have this mindset in our relationship, then Allah Ta'ala will bless it and nurture it. Even look at the story of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, that companion who was granted the honor of hosting the Messenger of Allah. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, and every single companion's desire was that the Messenger of Allah enters their house, the Prophet left the reins of its camel, and the camel went around and it chose Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into his house, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub placed, he granted the first floor to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is easier to stay on the first floor, it is easier to access going out, coming, you know, guests coming in, so it is easier to stay on the first floor. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub was on the second floor, and he says, I was not able to sleep for a single moment at night, knowing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beneath me and I am above him. Where do I place my foot? Where do I stand up? Where do I walk? Fearing that my step, my foot might be in a place with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the next morning he came to Rasulullah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I was not able to sleep for a single moment. I was fearful that I might do something out of disrespect. I was fearful that I might do something out of forgetfulness. And due to this love, he said to the Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, you go to the top and I will sleep at the bottom. This is the love. This is what true love does. It makes you sacrifice what you want. It makes you sacrifice your desires for your beloved. And when you do this, then you will attain the true love. There's another story that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was well amongst his companions. Now we have heard about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love, how our love should be for him, how the companion's love should be for him. Now look at the Messenger of Allah and Allah Ta'ala's love for his. Once a companion radiallahu anhum came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? When is the hour going to establish? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what have you prepared for the day of judgment? What have you prepared for the hour? And the companion radiallahu anhum said, Ya Rasulullah, I do not have a lot of prayers. I do not have a lot of sadaqat. I do not have a lot of charities. I do not have a lot of extra nawafil ibadat. But what I do have is the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my heart. And when they said this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will be with the one who you love. You will be with the one on the day of judgment who you love. And when Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhum heard this, he said that this was the most happy day in our life. This was the most pleased day in our life. There was not a day more beautiful than this in our life. And when it was asked why, he said, because it was that moment, it was that instant that we realized that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be with us. We will be with Rasulullah even in paradise. And what greater happiness, what greater satisfaction, what greater honor for a Muslim than to be with his beloved in Al-Qiyamah. And if when Allah Ta'ala loves an individual, He calls Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and He says, "Oh Jibreel, I love such and such a person. So you love such and such a person and tell the people that you also love him." And this is the love of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the true love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin nabiyya al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a gift from